All programming Thursday on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by the Vanover Square Apartments. Address 465 Merchant Avenue. Telephone number 740-389-3462.
Do you ever ponder? Do you ever wonder? In my server, serve and me. Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. You find it a waste of time because you cannot hear online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online to AdamTheComputerGuy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
Yes, Adam the Computer Guy is back on the WWGH 107.1 frequency modulation airwaves for another hour of fun, fascinating topics, controversy, and whatever else we can muster. Last 2 hours, I joined the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott Spears, to talk politics, current events, some controversial, sensitive topics, and other stuff on the Now with Scott Spears program, as can normally be expected when I go on the airwaves. Time flew by. Had a lot of fun, took a lot of calls. I want to thank all of our callers, Gail, Matthew, and everybody else. Always greatly appreciated. Until 3 p.m., I'm going to talk today's top and trendy technology topics, but we can also talk politics, current events, sports, and one of my favorite topics, music from the 73 to 87 time frame, as I pretty much know every song from that period. And if you doubt that, ask me a trivia question. I'm not going to use Google or Wikipedia. I'm going to try to answer a question off the top of my head because I feel my musical knowledge is that good. So 740-383-9944. If you'd like to stump the radio host with a music trivia question, talk about a technology topic, ask about your own computer. Maybe your computer is not running like you're hoping that it would. Maybe somebody told you that it's infected. Maybe you're looking at upgrading the operating system or another piece of software. Give me a call. We can talk about it. But again, current event topics are welcome also. During my course of conversation with Scott last hour, I talked about regulation of social media and usage of internet platforms, websites, apps, networking methods, etc., and we need to get more involved with regulation, making sure that everything is cool. Well, on the news slate today, technology CEOs have been invited to a summit of world leaders in Paris next month in May to agree on ways of preventing terrorists from using their platforms. Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, said yesterday that she and French President Emmanuel Macron would host the meeting to discuss how to end extremist activity on social media in the wake of recent terror attacks. Last month, a video of attacks that killed over 50 people at mosques in New Zealand was live streamed on Facebook and shared on YouTube, Twitter, and other social media platforms. The companies were criticized heavily for failing to curb the spread of that footage. New Zealand Prime Minister Ardern said the March 15th terrorist attacks saw social media used in an unprecedented way as a tool to promote an act of terrorism and hate. She said, "You're asking for a show of leadership to ensure social media cannot be used again the way that it was." Emmanuel Macron, again the leader of France, who hosted Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and other top executives at a Tech for Good summit in Paris in 2018, has been pushing the fight against hate speech online. He said these past years, the number of deaths resulting from terror attacks on the French territory has been considerable. And given what has happened in New Zealand, of course, there was a common initiative to combat hate speech on social media. At the May 15th meeting in Paris, coming up in about 3 weeks, world leaders and tech executives will be invited to sign a pledge called the Christchurch Call, which aims to end the use of social media for acts of terrorism. Twitter and Google, of course, owns YouTube, confirmed they would take part in the meeting, but did not say whether CEOs Jack Dorsey or Sundar Pichai would be there. A spokesperson for Facebook told CNN that it was evaluating who among top Facebook executives will attend. Microsoft did not comment on whether it would send a representative. Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube were all forced to defend their practices last month after over a million copies of the video of the Christchurch shootings circulated online, saying they had removed or blocked posts from users who were trying to share it. The pressure increased this week after hundreds were killed in terrorist attacks on churches and hotels in Sri Lanka. The government blocked social media platforms nationwide, citing false news reports. Prime Minister Ardern from New Zealand had previously suggested social media companies could be doing more. She has pointed to Facebook's capacity to automatically block videos from uploading as an example, saying, "That tells me there are powers to take a very direct approach to instances of speech that incites violence or that incites hate." Facebook said it shares the commitment of world leaders to keep people safe, adding that the New Zealand shooter's original video was taken down within minutes of being contacted by police. About 1.5 million copies of the clip were also removed within 24 hours. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has resisted calls to start delaying live videos to limit the spread of offensive content, saying it would, quote, "fundamentally break what live streaming is for those who legitimately use the tool to share updates with friends." New Zealand Prime Minister Ardern again called out the company on Wednesday, saying that it's critical that technology platforms like Facebook are not perverted as a tool for terrorism. A Facebook spokesperson told CNN Business that it welcomed the opportunity to work with government and industry experts on establishing a clear framework of rules and was, quote, "evaluating how we can best support the effort." Google has vowed to continue to engage on this crucial issue, saying that it had invested heavily in human review teams and would keep developing new standards and technologies to take down extremist content. Twitter, which says 95% of terrorist content on its platform, quote, "is removed proactively using in-house technology," said it would continue to find ways to prevent new accounts from being opened by terrorists and halt the spread of propaganda after attacks. "Our work will never be complete as the threats we face constantly evolve," according to a Twitter spokesperson. "We share a common goal with governments all around the world, including in New Zealand, to find real, lasting solutions to building a safer internet and welcome the opportunity to work together with our peers toward a global solution. So what do you think about that, folks? How should the government police what goes on social media? Should the bad guys be allowed to upload a video that gets a lot of views? Well, it's certainly an interesting point, and one I think that Scott and I talked about a bit in the last couple hours. Your opinions are certainly very welcome. You can leave me a message on my live Facebook video. Adam Lepore, Adam the Computer Guy is my Facebook name. Watch me do this show live. As you can see, I don't look too good today, but that's okay. You don't have to look at me, just hear me. That's good enough. Leave a comment or question or concern or complaint, or better yet, do it the old-fashioned way. Pick up the phone and call me, 740-383-WWGH, 740-383-9944. That is the phone number. I would love to hear from you. If you have a question about the computer at your home, business, car, the smartphone in your pocket isn't very smart, that's okay. I also provide free technical support on this program. Ask me a question. I'll be happy to do my best to assist you. And as I said, one of my biggest interests is music from between 73 and 87. If you'd like to ask me a trivia question and try to stump me, great, please do so. Or ask me my opinion about a song, like Scott and I talking about music from my original radio DJing period of 85 to 87, that Madonna, Wham, Bruce Springsteen, Phil Collins, etc., were big. And also talking about Michael Jackson, although he certainly was around and had music out. Thriller came out in 82, so that was slightly after the Thriller period. It's kind of hard to believe that Thriller came out 37 years ago. Absolutely incredible how time flies. And do we think that the current musicians, and I talked about Adele, who I feel is, though she's talented, I think she's greatly overrated, that talked about last hour, the original British female solo vocalist, Petula Clark, has more talent, to put it mildly, than Adele has. And I think Petula Clark has been an influence on all British female vocalists and anybody who picks up a microphone and sings ever since she started becoming popular back in the 60s. Love seeing her on the Ed Sullivan Show, and she's not bad looking either. I'll add that as a little sidelight. Current time is 29 minutes after 2 in the p.m. on the Adam the Computer Guy radio program, broadcast over the airwaves, the old-fashioned way, 105.7 FM in Marion. You can get us pretty much anywhere in Marion County, and also in southern Wyandotte County. You can listen online, on your computer, phone, etc., WWGH1071.com. And if you're on a mobile device, one of the best ways to listen is with the free TuneIn app. Just search for WWGH 107.1 and listen anytime you wish. I can assure you that your ears and your brain cells will be very thankful for that. And again, my phone number is 740-383-9944. Your participation in this show is very much appreciated. Facebook, we kind of alluded to this story last hour, is bracing for a massive fine from federal regulators after a year of data privacy scandals. Yesterday, Facebook said that it expects an ongoing investigation from the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, could result in fines ranging from $3 to $5 billion. And that's not chump change, my friends. Facebook set aside $3 billion in legal expenses related to the investigation, which cut into its profit for the first 3 months of 2019. Facebook's profit for the quarter was $2.4 billion, a decrease of 51% from the same period a year ago. David Wehner is Facebook's chief financial officer. He said this matter is not resolved, so the actual amount of payment remains uncertain. However, we're estimating the range of loss to be $3 to $5 billion. I'd like to thank Travis from the Cincinnati metropolitan area for watching me. He was watching last show, and it's greatly appreciated. And folks, if you want to call, don't be afraid. I won't bite. 740-383-9944. So anyway, Facebook facing some very hefty fines for doing things that the FTC considers to be naughty. Ah, the phone is ringing. I love it when people call. Let's see if I can figure out the equipment. Good afternoon. You are on WWGH Radio with Adam the Computer Guy.
Hello, Adam.
Hello. How are you, sir?
Sir.
Oh, ma'am. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I wanted to tell you, I was listening to you and Scott earlier, and you mentioned Heaven, you know, by Bryan Adams. So I just had to go to the computer and listen to that, and I had it pumped so high, I missed part of the program. It was loud. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, and then I switched over to find Joan Rivers' program to watch, I clicked on the very first episode she put out, went to watch it and run it, and my virus program popped up and said it just saved me from going into virus whatever.
Yeah, sometimes you do a search for a program, and it is what's called clickbait. It's actually something different, which could infect your computer, which is a good tech question.
Yeah.
Also wanted to make a correction. Now, I'm sure that Carol O'Connor was on with Joan Rivers. However, the show that I was thinking of was actually the Dick Cavett Show, and I'm kind of slapping myself because Dick Cavett has been on with Scott many times, as you probably know. And Dick Cavett, I believe, was a big influence on Scott, as their style is very similar. They're cerebral, in-depth. They'll ask anything, but you still feel like you're talking to your neighbor on your backyard and on your porch. So I see Dick Cavett as a big influence. You know, Scott's not going to tell me who his influences are, but I think everybody can pretty much agree. If you watch Dick Cavett, he and Scott are very similar. And it was Carol O'Connor was actually on the Dick Cavett Show. But again, I'm sure he's been on with Joan Rivers. So just interesting because I could have asked Scott, well, next time you have Dick Cavett on, ask him what Carol O'Connor was like. Is he's interesting because he's so different in personality than he is on Archie Bunker, because he's so intellectual. He sounds similar, but not quite as New York sounding as he does in All in the Family. But he looks almost identical. Even the mannerisms are the same.
Mm-hmm.
He even smokes. So he smokes cigarettes on the talk show and smokes cigars on All in the Family, which I'm not quite sure why, but I kind of found that as being interesting also. So that's an example of someone who's very different in real life, but looks the same. Ted Knight also is similar in that he's also well-educated, very very intellectual type, but on Mary Tyler Moore, he played a bumbling newsman, although on Too Close for Comfort, he played a smart character. And one thing about Ted Knight, too, is he was a ventriloquist, and as you may or may not know, he did ventriloquism as part of his character on Too Close for Comfort. So that's a case where there's some similarities and some that are not similarities. But getting back to what you mentioned, definitely when you search for a program or search for your favorite star on a clip, be sure that you're actually getting what you think you are, because you might end up clicking something which could try to infect your computer.
Well, obviously it did try to, but my microtrend is what I have.
Trend micro, yes.
Okay. I'm lucky I remember that part. But anyways, it saved the day. But I just had to tell you that I did listen to Bryan Adams, and I had it full throttle. And now I've got the CD out, and I'll probably, you know, put that on my stereo.
Yeah, I just, with Sandy, who literally, I mean, that's a true story. She and her sister, her brother, her mother, they listened all the time to me between 85 and 87 in northern New York where I was working. And Scott asked me actually a very easy question. What was the most requested song? We Are the World by far, but Heaven by Bryan Adams, a very close second.
Isn't that something? You know, I don't know that I would necessarily have picked that one, but of course, Summer 69, he had a lot of them, but what was it, Forgive Me? Or
Please Forgive Me While I'm Gone.
Oh, my God.
Bryan Adams, a bit like Foreigner and some other bands, they mellowed their sound. Foreigner was a pretty hard rocking band, and they went more mellow. I Want to Know What Love Is was a huge hit, but it wasn't typical of their harder rocking sound, Dirty White Boy and Blue Morning, Blue Day, head games from earlier, a few years earlier,
mm-hmm.
and they found the formula, and it sold more. And mm-hmm. Bryan Adams also got more mellow, but he still had a hard rock attitude to him, which he's very talented.
Well, he's one of my favorite. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I have a lot of CDs, you know. I still enjoy in getting them out. I have a drawer full of them. And when I get them out, I have my stereo. I haven't done this for a while, but I have my stereo in an armoire. That was my stereo cabinet. And one day when the kids were still in high school, I turned my music up so loud that the door fell off of my armoire.
Yeah, just back in the good old days where you talk about hit music was just so good.
That's right.
And again, as I did mention, where I worked and went to college was almost walking distance to the Canadian border. As a crow flies, 18 miles was this one station from Canada. And so Canadian acts obviously had a special significance. Corey Hart, Rush, you know, in the more hard rocking end. Randy Bachman's bands, The Guess Who and BTO. But Bryan Adams, he was huge. And mm-hmm. if I talk about requests, that song was up there. And it was a bit of a change, as it wasn't as loud, as you point out, as Summer of 69.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a transition into his more mellow tunes.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, very talented, very talented. Yeah. Not discounting at all his musical ability. I think he's influenced musicians to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pleasure to get that song as a request. And as much as I love We Are the World, you get a little tired of it twice in an hour.
Yeah, that's just not quite the
but
same.
But I find myself hearing it on the radio. If I hear a countdown on the 80s channel on Sirius, and I sing it at karaoke from time to time,
uh-huh.
that just brings back memories. And it really is a good song. You talk about all these artists, all this talent. And you watch the video and you see Tina Turner, Bruce Springsteen, Huey Lewis,
mm-hmm.
Kenny Rogers, Cyndi Lauper. It's just incredible.
I've got CDs by all of them.
Yeah, music is so important to American history.
That's right, But I just had to let you know that I did miss a few minutes of you and Scott talking because I had this up too high. So.
No problem. The reason is that you were listening to great music from the 70s or the 80s, we will certainly forgive you. And of course, you can go to our website anytime and download or listen to any show on demand.
Okay, Adam. Thanks for the good shows today.
No problem. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening, and feel free to call back anytime.
Okay, thank you.
And we always appreciate people calling in, participating in this show and all of our programs, 740-383-9944. Travis has a question which I believe has stumped me, but I do want to mention, Travis, I'm not sure that this song is from the... This question is from the period 73 to 87, but I still should know the answer. Unfortunately, I don't. Before it was Green Day, what was the original name for this pop rock... Pop... That's a tongue twister. Pop punk band. What was Green Day's original name? And honestly, I don't know. I wish I did. And I'm not perfect, but I'm not quite sure that was from the 73 to 87 period. But I still should know the answer because I think Green Day's music has shaped a lot of other bands. So if anybody has the answer, feel free to call and school me or Travis call or send me a message on Facebook. Let me know what the answer is because I think you have stumped me. That does happen. You know, I'm not afraid to indicate that I don't know everything, much as I wish that I did. I want to thank Weasel Boy for watching the video again, and we're getting very excited. He's going to be on the air tomorrow morning, and he will be having his own program starting the first Saturday in May, 7 to 10 a.m. every Saturday morning. It is the Weasel Boy Show on WWGH. Be there. It is radio worth listening to. We were talking about Facebook getting an FTC fine, which might be as high as 5 billion smackaroonies. And that is for violating data privacy rules. And we quoted Facebook's chief financial officer. Now, Facebook violated a 2011 consent agreement with the FTC, which required that they have a comprehensive privacy program and to get the express consent of users before sharing their data. Previous FTC fines against tech firms had minimal teeth. In 2012, the Federal Trade Commission fined Google over $22 million for violating an earlier privacy agreement with the agency. That same year, Google topped $50 billion in annual revenue for the first time. So $22 billion, that's a lot of money if you work in radio, but if you make $50 billion, it's pocket change. Now, former FTC officials previously told CNN that the agency may feel more pressure to make a statement with its fine against Facebook in light of all the public attention the company's data privacy scandals have received. Even without the fine, analysts had expected the company to post a rare profit decline, as Facebook had indicated it would invest heavily in infrastructure and efforts to protect the platform from abuse. They previously said they expect their total expenses to increase by 40% to 50% in 2019 compared to 2018, as they put more money in data centers, augmented and virtual reality technology, and in safety and security. At a conference in February, they called the safety and security efforts, quote, a big multi-billion dollar investment, which is important for the long-term sustainability of the business. But on the call yesterday, Facebook signaled expenses this year may be lighter than expected, not counting the money set aside for the FTC fine. Last month, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said that emphasize private, encrypted, and ephemeral conversations across its products in an attempt to reposition Facebook as a privacy-focused platform. He said people want to use both private and public. And that was in a conference call yesterday, again from their CEO, Zuckerberg. He said delivering this public and private platforms is both in the interest of our community and our business. That said, Zuckerberg did admit some aspects of the shift to more privacy-focused features have the potential to hurt the business. He said reducing the permanence of data may have some impact. For all its scandals, Facebook's ad sales business continues to chug along. So these privacy scandals are not affecting Facebook's ad revenue. And I think Zuckerberg, who's certainly not stupid, I think he realizes that. Facebook's revenue for the quarter topped $15 billion. $15 billion, that's not chump change. A 26% increase from a year earlier. Deborah Aho Williamson, principal analyst at eMarketer, said, advertisers continue to be stuck on Facebook despite its many challenges. What they care most about is its vast user base and its targeting capabilities, and both are continuing to provide strong performance for them. But there may be challenges ahead for its advertising platform. Facebook expects ad targeting headwinds will be more pronounced in the second half of the year, in part because of product tweaks and user behavior changes in the wake of sweeping data protection regulation in Europe. So again, the General Data Protection Regulations, the GDPR, is rearing its head in the European Union. Interesting stuff. Privacy, filtering out of offensive content. It is a big topic as the influence of social media increases daily. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, with the Thursday edition of my twice weekly radio program here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Broadcasting a live video on Facebook. Yes, Facebook, that is the company we just talked about for the last few minutes. Again, under my screen name of Adam Lepp or Adam the Computer Guy. By the way, if you'd ever like to send me an email, I would love to hear from you. Just like Hillary, we have a private email server, but unlike Hillary, we don't delete any messages. We read every single one of them. Adam at WWGH1071.com. I would love to hear from you. Also, our new staff member, Weasel Boy, also known as Chad H. H stands for he's an outstanding radio host. Well, you can email him at weasel at wwgh1071.com. He would love to hear from you, as would any of our staff members. Charlie at wwgh1071.com. Sean at wwgh1071.com. Can I say that fast? Not really. Let me slow down. And Terry Tackett, one of our other esteemed staff members and managers. Terry at wwgh1071.com. Of course, as I told the caller a few minutes ago, be sure to go to our website at wwgh1071.com and listen to any of our past shows, download them at your convenience, or listen right via our website. I like to go to the gym and listen to my show and other shows while I am working out. Good idea, because I think it is stimulating to the brain, invites a little controversy, and is something a little different while you're going about your daily business. What else? What else is going on in the world of technology? Again, if you would like to chime in, I would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Ask me a question about technology. Tell me if you agree with my opinions. What do you think about the conversation that Scott, I, and some callers had between 12 and 2? Or if you'd like to try to stump me with a music trivia question, music from between 73 and 87, I would love to hear from you because that is one of my areas of expertise. What else is going on in the world? The world's biggest election has tech companies scrambling to try and put a lid on misinformation in India. Twitter is now trying to make it easier for users to flag fake news aimed at voters. Twitter has made changes to its reporting tools to specifically target content that misleads voters. And these changes take place today, April 25th. Twitter said voting is a fundamental human right, and the public conversation occurring on Twitter is never more important than during elections. Starting today, users who report tweets in India will see a new option to flag them as being misleading about voting. Twitter said the category includes content that misinforms people about how to vote, wrongly saying they can vote via social media, text, or phone call, for example, or false information about requirements for voting and election dates. It's the latest attempt by social media platforms to crack down on misinformation during India's national election, in which 900 million people, that's almost three times the population of the United States. So that's a big election, folks. 900 million people in India are eligible to vote, and that concludes in about 4 weeks on May 23rd. Other platforms like Facebook and its mobile messaging service WhatsApp have also added several measures to prevent hoaxes from going viral in India, partnering with fact-checking organizations and using artificial intelligence to detect problematic behavior. But experts say India's nearly 600 million internet users present an enormous challenge, and a lot of misinformation is likely to slip through the cracks. That hasn't stopped companies from trying. Facebook and Twitter have also cracked down on political advertising, recently making it easier for users to view who created and paid for political ads. Twitter will extend its new reporting feature to users in the European Union on Monday the 29th, ahead of the bloc's parliamentary elections in May. The feature will later roll out to other elections globally throughout the rest of the year. So, social media platforms getting involved in elections. And as we've talked about, the influence of social media in almost anything and everything going on in the world is, as Donald Trump would say, bigly and getting biglier. Is that a word, biglier? Well, if not, we'll make it up because that's okay. Adam Lepp here, 9 minutes before 3 in the p.m. on The Talking Place, WWGH 1071.com. com and broadcasting the old-fashioned way from our radio tower at the Marion Towers Apartments, 107.1 frequency modulation megahertz on your radio dial. Want to let you know that tomorrow we have great programs. Chad H., better known as Weasel Boy, joins the Exchange Club, I believe at 11 in the a.m. Charlie Evers on later in the afternoon also. And, of course, on Monday, I start out the live broadcasting day with a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and Professor Ron Feynman at about 10:15 a.m., talking politics, presidential history, and all that good stuff. Don't miss it. I can assure you that it is radio worth tuning into. Coming up on Saturday, Marion, Ohio weather hike series at the Tallgrass Trail from noon to 2. Now, Marion, Ohio weather, it is a service of Zach Fuller, our official weather person here at the radio station. Don't miss it. Noon to 2, Marion, Ohio weather hike series at the Tallgrass Trail from noon to 2. It is a great way to get out and explore your Marion County parks. This Monday, the 27th, and I do apologize, that actually is May 25th. May 25th on Saturday. I'm getting ahead of myself. Marion, Ohio weather hike series at Tallgrass Trail, noon to 2. May 27th, bird watching, 8 in the morning at the Tallgrass Trail, starting at the DeCliff parking lot. And coming up this Saturday, I have not already gotten confused by looking at the wrong calendar. This Saturday, the 27th, Time Travelers Fair at Tri-Rivers from noon to 5 p.m. Please contact the Marion Historical Society for more details. So all kinds of great stuff going on as we are about 5 weeks into spring 2019, courtesy of the Marion County Park District. And we encourage you to participate in these events, again, especially the Marion, Ohio weather hike on Saturday, May 25th, as Marion, Ohio weather is a valued partner of WWGH Radio. Also, the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon now airs on this very same station, Sunday and Wednesday night, 6:10 to 7 p.m. Definitely want to listen to that also. A great variety of programs on this station. Last but not least, this Saturday, April 27th, at 7 p.m., the Marionaires present Barbershop in America, Everyone in Harmony, at the Palace Theater. $12 in advance, $15 at the door. Students up to grade 12, 6 in advance, or 10 at the door. Featuring guest quartets, Damboise and Harmonic Thunder. Again, Saturday starting at 7 p.m. at the Palace Theater. Great music for you from the Marionaires. There's a lot going on here, I tell you, and it's wonderful to be at this radio station, being involved in the community, talking about all the great new programs, all the outstanding hosts and hostesses at this radio station. And I can assure you, folks, the best is yet to come. 5 minutes before 3 in the p.m. at WWGH Radio. Still time to call in, 740-383-9944. Your dulcet tones would be very much appreciated. President Donald Trump. How can we do a show on the station without talking about the Donald? Well, no exception here. President Donald Trump met with Twitter chief executive Jack Dorsey last Tuesday, hours after he erroneously accused Twitter of discriminatory behavior toward conservative users. The meeting included a discussion about the size of Trump's Twitter following, a person with knowledge of the convention told CNN Business. That news was first reported by the Washington Post. Earlier in the day, Trump had tweeted a complaint that Twitter is, quote, very discriminatory, and does not, quote, treat me well as a Republican. President Trump said it was, quote, hard for people to sign on, and accused the company of constantly taking people off list. After the meeting, Trump tweeted a photo and wrote, lots of subjects discussed regarding their platform and the world of social media in general. Look forward to keeping an open dialogue. In a statement, a Twitter spokesperson said, Jack had a constructive meeting with the President of the United States today at the President's invitation. They discussed Twitter's commitment to protecting the health of the public conversation ahead of the 2020 U.S. elections and efforts underway to respond to the opioid crisis. Among others in the room, Donald Trump was accompanied by Dan Scavino, the White House Director of Social Media and a longtime Trump aide who frequently posts for him on Twitter. Dorsey was accompanied by Vijaya Gaddy, Twitter's head of legal policy and trust and safety. For years, prominent Republicans and right-wing media personalities have repeatedly made unfounded accusations that Twitter and other social media platforms are biased against conservative users. Trump has amped up such accusations since he took office in his Tuesday morning tweets. He said the federal government should step in. No wonder Congress wants to get involved, and they should. Must be more and fairer companies to get out the word. And that was a tweet from President Donald J. Trump. Trump's meeting with Jack Dorsey, again from Twitter, also came a month after the Washington Post had quoted that Twitter was considering labeling tweets, which violates their rules, but which the company permits to remain online, deemed to be in public interest. Such a move could potentially impact President Donald Trump. As some critics have suggested, his tweets have violated the platform's terms of service. So again, Donald Trump, we're finding, maybe a bit ironically, he is the oldest person to be elected to the office, but he seems to be using the more younger generation oriented methods of communication. That is, he sometimes seems to govern by tweet. And is that a good or a bad thing? I think it's good that you interact with people using a modern method like social media. But when it comes to things that are really important, should social media be your main way of communicating them? Well, that could be up for debate. And of course, we invite your dialogue. You don't have to call the show or make a comment on my live video feed. You can go to our Facebook page. Again, become a fan if you're already not one. If you're not already a fan, please become one. That's what I wanted to say. WWGH Radio in Marion. Go ahead and post a comment. We will be glad to read it over and provide our feedback on it. What do you think about social media and politics? Does Donald Trump tweet too much? Is he a role model for future presidents and how they will use the power of social media? What about privacy? Does Donald Trump sometimes say things that maybe are best left unsaid? Because, you know, when you tweet, it goes out immediately. There's not really room to edit something, like if you're going to publish a letter or write a script for a speech. And on that note, I want to say thank you very much for listening today. I've been on pretty much since 15 minutes after noon today, first with Scott, now on my own. Time for me to go home and get some stuff done. Have a great rest of your Thursday. AdamTheComputerGuy.com.